Yes, that's right. It's the Simpleton Podcast. My name is Daniel James from Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. Let me just have a look at joining me this week. Oh, that's right. It's Scott Gall from Berlin, Germany. Scott, how's things?
Well, Daniel, very well, thank you. How are you? And listeners, how are you?
That's just a redundant question, Scott, in relation to the listeners. We don't actually broadcast this live to a listening audience. But as far as I'm concerned, well, I have to admit, I am a little bit jet-lagged. I've had quite a big week. As you know, Scott, I've been keeping you abreast of all the issues.
Mm.
Look, let me think. I've spent around about 72 hours this week in transit. I won't go into that now, of course. We'll go into that very shortly. But it's been a very big week, let me just say that. If you wouldn't mind, Scott, could you introduce what is a very special world roundup?
Yeah, I'll do it right now. Given listeners, I'll just let you know I'm breaking myth convention this week and introducing the world roundup. Given that Daniel has got the lead story, so here it is, the world roundup.
I have broken with years of convention. In introducing the world wrap-up yourself. And you've got off your own bat and shown a bit of initiative.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. But, Scott, I suppose I've been introduced to world roundup this week, given that you've got the lead story. Oh, sorry, you just said that.
Yeah.
I just find it difficult to
You're jet-lagged.
I'm jet-lagged. Yeah. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. I don't know whether I'm Arthur or Martha.
Yeah.
Scott, let me get into this. I think I can speak for both of us when I say that we were both taken aback by an email sent to our address, contact@thesimpleton.com.au, from someone purporting to be Jesper Hansen. Simpletons, you may remember that last week in episode 5 of The Simpleton, I threw down the gauntlet to the person who left a comment on thesimpleton.com.au claiming to be Jesper Hansen, a Danish exchange student who studied at Scott and I's high school for about 12 months, 17 or 18 years ago. I challenged Jesper, in quotation marks, just in case you didn't get that inference, to contact us with a photo of himself holding a copy of the Copenhagen Post as proof that it was the aforementioned. Well, as many of you may have seen, the email was sent, and I did indeed post a copy of the photo on thesimpleton.com.au. Scott, you've seen the photo. What did you make of it?
Dodgy. Although not dodgy enough to completely rule out the possibility it could be Jesper. It was photoshopped. So the two possibilities are it's not Jesper, or for some reason Jesper chose not to send a real photo of himself with the newspaper, but a photoshopped photo of himself with the newspaper. It's my take.
That was my thoughts, almost exactly. If you go to the website, it's still up there. It will be up there for all time. But if you go to the website and have a look at the photo, there's just two things I noticed about it, Scott.
Mm.
One thing was that the guy in the bed holding the paper looked nothing like the Jesper I knew. And secondly, his wife was unexpectedly quite attractive. I won't go into too much detail about that, but I think you were right that photo was indeed photoshopped. I mean, if you just look at the extremely pixelated copy of the Copenhagen Post that both of them are holding, and the fogginess around the hands, and something just didn't add up. But you're right, there wasn't quite enough there for us to rule out the possibility that it was actually Jesper altogether.
Yeah.
So, Scott, I think I'll just start this story right now and get straight into it.
Let's get straight into this. I cannot wait.
So, Scott, remaining unconvinced about the authenticity of the bespoke photograph, I decided to take matters into my own hands and get to the bottom of this controversy.
Here we go again.
The email had sent me into a tailspin.
If the email was from Jesper, then all well and good. But if it wasn't, then who the blazes was behind this elaborate falsehood? I step outside my service department and get Felix to hail me a cab to the airport. I slip him a crisp $20 note for his service and bid him adieu. The cab driver asks me where to. I say, take me to Copenhagen. The ride out to Tullamarine takes an interminable amount of time. I must in my thoughts, trying to pull the various threads of this complex tapestry of deceit together. I pass Tullamarine clutches and brakes and feel like I'm being driven down a boulevard of broken dreams. But I can't focus on that right now. All that matters is Copenhagen. I get upgraded from business to first class, and although it's a little early in the day for a complimentary glass of Dom Perignon Rosé, it does go some way to easing my tension. I relax back in the seat and stare at the effervescent bubbles of dissolved carbon dioxide magically appearing from nowhere and then once again vanishing, just like Jesper Hansen had done all those years ago. We take off, and as the 747 ascends through the clouds, I look out the window and just make out the glistening rooftop of Sydney Mufflers, like a beacon in the fog. A beacon with over 3,000 parts in store that offers some of the most competitive prices for exhaust systems anywhere in Melbourne's outer outer northwest. As my 32 hours in transit drags on and on, my mind wanders to mountains climbed and valleys traversed in years past. Ecuador. Ecuador. I couldn't let this become another Ecuador. It had been over 18 years since I left Ecuador. But Ecuador would never leave me. Damn you, Pedro. Damn you to hell. Touchdown at Copenhagen Airport. I'd been brushing up on my Danish and was confident I could handle myself through any scenario. After a full cavity search at customs, I step out into the concourse to hail a cab to the Radisson when I feel my hailing arm being grabbed at the wrist. I immediately think of deploying my Koyondu to dispatch the would-be attacker, and then think better of it.
Not funny moves, Mr. James. Would you kindly come with me?
I hadn't expected a welcoming party so soon.
Mr. Henriksen would like a quiet word.
Henriksen. I hadn't expected Henriksen. I knew him by reputation only, but I knew enough about this world-renowned beekeeper to know that he was no man to be messed with. The short drive to Henriksen's palace has posed as many questions as the 32-hour flight. What did Henriksen want? What was his connection to Jesper? And who else knew I was in the Danish capital? I am marched through the inner expanse of the palace until I am shown into a large office and see a man staring out the window overlooking the stately gardens.
Ladies, leave us,
he demands the two bikini-clad women adorning his Swahili ottoman.
May I offer you a drink, Mr. James?
I ask for a Jewess on the rocks.
I trust Mr. Soffles treated you with the courtesy and respect you deserve after such a long flight.
I ask what this is all about, trying to place Henriksen's wavering accent.
Let me come straight to the point, Mr. James. You and I both know why you're in Copenhagen. I bear no ill towards you, but let me just say this. If you value your life, Mr. James, you'll go straight back to the airport and take the first flight out. There's nothing here for you in Copenhagen.
I don't take threats lightly, Mr. Henriksen. Excellent scotch, by the way.
That's a maybe, Mr. James. But we don't want another debacle such as the one that had happened in Ecuador.
Ecuador. Ecuador. How did he know about that? Had he spoken to Pedro? Damn you, Pedro. I mustn't let him know that I'm rattled. Mr. Henriksen, my only concern is trying to ascertain whether the person who wrote into the Simpleton podcast was the Danish exchange student that he or she was claiming to be.
Come, come, Mr. James. You and I both know that you are out of your depth. Mr. Hansen was merely an exchange student that happened to visit your small rural village over some 17 years ago. What could he possibly want with you and Hergård now? The notion is as ridiculous as it is juvenile.
He was right, of course. The chances of the writer being Hansen were remote.
Would you please follow me, Mr. James? Do I have a choice? We shall see. Please, just come with me.
I am shown to Henriksen's private elevator. The short lift ride takes us to an old, musty archive. The room was enormous, with very minimal light.
I apologize for the poor light, Mr. James, but it's the only way we can slow the decay of these precious rarities. I have Mr. Soffles digitizing this entire collection, but as you can imagine, it's going to take some time.
Henriksen then pulls out a small stepladder and climbs to the highest reaches of a bookshelf, where he pulls down what looks like to be a poorly produced A4-size booklet.
Mr. James, what I'm about to show you, no man has seen in over 17 years. If its contents was to fall into the wrong hands, it could have a grave impact on the future of mankind. I hope that once you see what I'm about to show you, you will finally put this silly notion out of your head that it was Jesper that emailed you and heckled at, the simpleton.
Henriksen then hands me a booklet. I have to blow the dust off the cover to make out any distinction.
Here, you may use my monocle.
I insert the monocle and am taken aback immediately by what I see. It is the 1994 yearbook to my old high school.
Where did you get this?
That is of no concern of yours, Mr. James. What I do encourage you to do now, though, is turn to page 15.
It is there on page 15 that I see a toothy smile of a young Jesper Hansen staring back at me. I transcend into a state of delirium. The mountains and the valleys come back to me. All the years, all the trials and tribulations come back to me and overwhelm me in this man's archive. They say a picture can say 1,000 words. This picture was saying much more than that. Much more.
As you can see, Mr. James, the boy in that picture and the man in the picture sent to you and Herr Gohl with a quite attractive partner are not one and the same.
I can see that now.
It was quite foolish of you to come all this way on less than a whim, Mr. James. I would have expected more from you than that.
But what of the real Jesper?
Mr. Hansen will be a part of every man's story, no matter who you are or where you are in the world. There is a little bit of Jesper inside all of us.
That didn't even make sense. Arriving back in Melbourne, I wondered what all that was about. It's funny how one can get caught up in hysteria. In my case, I got caught up in a little Jesper mania. I guess what I'd learned was that it's your road and yours alone. Others may walk it with you, but no one can walk it for you. I walk back into my service apartment and pour myself a pot of hot coffee and sit down to record another Simpleton podcast. Damn you, Jesper. Damn you, Pedro.
Powerful. Powerful stuff. And that was quite a scrape you got yourself into back there. I'm just glad you got back okay. Before we discuss that a little bit more, I think someone is due an apology. Daniel, you might remember last week we alluded to a suspect. We didn't name him or her.
I like how you did that. Yeah, him or her.
Yeah.
Could be either.
Could be either. Let me just say now we apologize to that suspect. A new person of interest has come to light. Actually, I guess you could say a partner in crime of that one we mentioned last week. Yeah. Quite literally, actually. I mean that literally. Although, long time ago, they were naive kids, the pair of them. Car returned, no harm done. So apology there.
Scott, I would like to throw down the gauntlet once more. Look, as far as I'm concerned, this is case closed, right? I don't want to keep harping on about this issue.
Yeah.
However, I do encourage the person to identify themselves and stop hiding behind a Danish exchange student that came to our country some 17 or 18 years ago. And I think once you actually analyse the sentence I just spat out, you'll realise how ridiculous this whole situation is. Anyway, I think it's time that we went on to something far more interesting.
Daniel, listen, I'm sorry. So we're done with that. I have to ask you something.
Yeah, on the Sydney
Are you sitting down?
Of course I'm sitting down, Scott. I'm actually reclining. Yeah.
I've been meaning actually to tell you something regarding
Hang on before that, Scott, can we just get on with this Sydney Mufflers promotion?
Actually, what I wanted to tell you was concerning Sydenham Mufflers. Actually, Daniel, what I wanted to tell you about that is that our commercial relationship with Sydenham Mufflers has been severed.
What the fuck? What the fuck? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Have you got?
Go on.
Take a sip of water if you've got something there.
Hang on, wait a sec. What the fuck? Yeah, go on.
It all happened while you were on the case in Copenhagen, and I believe it's because there was actually not a single response to last week's mystery sound.
What you mean this sound?
Yes. Yeah, that's the sound I mean.
How could there not be a response to it? It's clearly a cow, and surely people that who want serviced, I'm just flabbergasted about this, that want their exhaust systems serviced with a 12% discount, would surely just go in and see Warren and the boys and get that discount straight away by saying that they heard a cow.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Listen, I'm sick of this. We had Tullamarine clutches and brakes. Now that fell through. Sydenham Mufflers has fallen through. Daniel, I crave stability here. Something is not going right. It's two now. We can't keep blaming the other. A pattern is starting to emerge here. You have to do better. This is your baby.
Hang on. I'm sorry.
This podcast is your baby. The website is your baby. You have to do better in maintaining these relationships. It's two now, Daniel.
Scott, I've just spent, 64 hours in transit trying to get to the bottom of a story that... And by the way, Scott, how long does it take to fly from Berlin to Copenhagen, just out of interest?
About an hour. Yep, right on an hour. It's about 600 Ks.
Yeah. Yeah, now I think about it, perhaps it would have been easier if you went. But back on this story, fuck you, Scott. I mean, Jesus, I'm not gonna blaspheme, but I am at my wit's end. I mean, I spent hours sealing that deal with Warren and the boys. But look, leave it with me. I will find another sponsor for next week's episode. And Simpletons, indeed, if you have anyone that you would like to suggest as a sponsor for this podcast, this week it took tens of thousands of dollars to put together. So we're crying out for a sponsor. And if anyone has any ideas, please email us at contact@thesimpleton.com.au. But look, I am just gutted, but I'm going to move on. And you know what I'm going to move on to, Scott?
World sport.
Your baby, Scott. Go on.
It is. Daniel, are you feeling gutted? Relax. We can't do anything about it now. It's weekend. Let's get on the case, on the search for a sponsor come Monday. Now you just got to relax and enjoy. And enjoy. No, because, you're right. Daniel, and listeners... The World Report this week is about the Olympics. The Olympics are nearly upon us. Firstly, let it be said that the two one-eyed mascots, Wenlock and Mandeville, are the most revolting and creepy-looking ever conceived. This is a sentiment echoed by several news reports, including one in the Adelaide Advertiser last month.
I saw that.
Indicating that this was pretty much how kids viewed them. Did you want to say something, Daniel?
Yeah, no, I was just saying I saw that report in the Adelaide Advertiser.
Yeah, good. Secondly, I believe the pyramid light towers around the stadium were either designed by someone who has a strong interest in the mystery Babylonian religion or was under the influence of mind-altering drugs. Take your pick. But that aside, my tip is that these games will be remembered for several reasons, but probably none more than Montenegro's gold medal triumph in the men's water polo. What are your thoughts, Daniel? What do you think about the Olympics?
I think the Montenegro gold medal is in the bag, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah,
I've been following the Montenegro's water polo, men's water polo team for the last 24 months because I got some early mail on them that they would be the ones to look out for. But Scott, can you just
That's excellent.
But yeah, well, I have my sources. Scott, can you just remind the simpletons out there where Montenegro is?
Montenegro is down there in the Balkans area. It's used to be under Serbia's jurisdiction. Used to be the country used to be known as Serbia and Montenegro. They have since parted ways, and this is, I believe, Montenegro's second Summer Olympic Games as a separate entity, Daniel. But they're yet to win a gold medal as a separate entity. So yeah, look, you're trying to stump me there.
No. You've passed that with flying colours, and I think the simpletons out there can judge whether or not you have too much time on your hands. Scott, I'm not sure that look, I admire the team. They've got a lot of spunk, but I'm not sure as to whether they actually have an Olympic-sized swimming pool in Montenegro. Can you confirm or deny those reports?
I haven't burned up on that issue. And please, I mean that figuratively, not literally. So don't, no gutter jokes, Daniel.
Well, you're boned up over Montenegro. You're boned up over the Serbian Montenegro dispute. I'm sure you got a kick out of that.
I don't know, but it's a country of about 2 million, has an armed forces, last I checked, of about 3,700. Given, you know, that requires a bit of money, so I'm sure they have an Olympic-sized pool somewhere.
When did you last check that?
A couple of hours back. Yeah, a couple of hours back.
You do that in your spare time, do you?
Doing my research, Daniel. Doing my research. But now, enough of that. Enough of the chit-chat. Now, it is time to get to the nuts and bolts of my sports report, which today is something very, very special. First of all, anyone who heard last week's podcast would surely agree that Daniel's conduct during the sports segment was not only insufferable, but also ungracious. So in order to avoid a repeat this week, today's sports report will be a strictly scientific focus on the 100-meter sprint, arguably the marquee event of the Olympic Games. Listeners, just for you, I've undertaken an analysis encompassing all previous winners of this event and their respective times in order to give you a clearer picture of not only what sort of time will be needed to take out the gold medal this year, but an insight into what sort of times, once thought unthinkable, will be attainable in the not too distant future. So, regarding this year, I think we can safely assume that someone will win the event.
Shit, Scott, thanks for that insight. I mean, yeah.
No, shut up. Shut up and let me finish. Excuse me. Shut up, let me finish. Someone will win the event with a time of 9 to 10 seconds, which has happened the last 7 times. An average of those times gives us 9.85 seconds. Your information. But where will the winner come from? Well, I worked out the numerical value of every letter comparative to its place in the alphabet. And in this way, I formulated an overall average from all of the country codes of previous gold medal winners in the event. The results, Daniel, were fascinating. The overall result was PND, very, very close to the country code of Papua New Guinea, Daniel. What do you make of that?
I'm struggling to make anything out of this, Scott. I'm really, really stumped as to how your mind works sometimes. Let me just think about your logic here. You worked out the numerical value of every letter comparative to its place in the alphabet.
That's precisely it.
9.85, and you came up with P and D, which to your mind is close to PNG.
Yes.
Except, and this is where I think there's a slight hole in your logic, Scott, there is no place on Earth called PND.
I round it up to PNG. Are you... No. It sounds to me like you're denying the science. The science behind this. you're denying the science.
Look, the science you speak of, Scott, is just some half-assed theory that you've pulled out of your full ass. It's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to take over the sports report next week, because this is just sinking.
I'm going to have to take over the sports report. Ooh, I'm going to have to edit that out. Ooh, it's just not factually accurate.
Daniel, it's hot air. That's what you say every week, yet you keep letting me take the report.
Okay, Scott, I'll give you another chance. But come, I think it's probably 2 weeks away from tonight. We're both broadcasting this on a Saturday night. That's what we do for you listeners. We give up our free time to bring you entertainment. We will know in 2 weeks' time who the winner of the 100 metres will be at the London Olympic Games. Scott, if that person that wins the men's... I'm assuming we're talking men's. Yes, of course we are.
Yes, of course.
If that person doesn't come from PND, I will consider, and I'm sure the simpletons out there will consider, your reputation on sporting matters in tatters. What say you?
Daniel, science tells us that the winner of the 100 metres event will likely, there are no guarantees, but will likely come from Papua New Guinea, and they will, in the final, achieve a time of 9.85 seconds. I've got nothing more to say.
That is just fucking ridiculous. It really is. Go on.
All right. Well, let's see. Let's see what happens. We don't have to wait long, as you said. But now to the future. And this is the exciting part. I reckon this will tickle your fancy, Daniel. Listeners as well. Now, the Olympic record in this event between 1896 and 2008, the era of the modern Olympics, has been broken 10 times in the final by an average of 0.25 seconds. And here is what I think will boggle the minds of the listeners, Daniel. This is it.
Sure.
The science of my research tells us that the Olympic Games in the year 3304 will be the ones to watch. And why? Because it will be around this time that, according to the trends, according to the scientific data, the 100 meters will be completed in under a second. Your thoughts?
Well, you've elaborately put this one in there, Scott, because there's no way that any of us listening to this podcast in 2012 will ever be able to test the science, as you put it. I don't rule anything out. You know, 3,304 is a long time away from here. Anything could happen. But whatever does happen in that time, it'll want to be pretty fucking special for the 100 metres world record to be held in under a second. That's what I will say. I mean, that's it takes what? It takes a fraction of a second for them to react to the starter's gun, for instance.
Yeah, that's correct.
And so you're basically suggesting that it's just going to be one giant leap for man to off the starter's line break the... Yeah, let's talk about the biomechanics of this, Scott. How do you think that will actually work?
I will tell you.
In this dimension.
Don't interrupt for a few seconds. I'll tell you. The idea of one giant leap, that's primitive, it's ridiculous. Think about a fly's wing, you know, it looks like it's not moving, but it's moving extremely fast, so fast you can't even see it. And I imagine the movements of the athlete's legs in the year 3304 or thereabouts will be the same. So the idea of one giant leap from start to finish, no, that's ridiculous, and that goes against science. What I propose is that it will be more of this example of the fly's wing. There'll be rapid leg movements, so rapid you can't even see them. So that pretty much shoots down whatever you're about to put forth.
You're not believing it as you say it, are you, Scott? As you are muttering your shite, you're actually talking yourself out of your own argument, aren't you? Be honest. Be honest.
No.
Don't be honest. You're talking about flies' wings and human legs within the same breath, and you're talking yourself out of your own bullshit scenario. Look, I'm going to move the show on, Scott. You just remain silent while I bring us to the shout-out. Scott, I believe you're doing the shout-out this week, correct?
You believe correctly, Daniel. Let's get straight into it. I'd like to give a shout-out to the One Turner Bicycles, who are heading off to Zhangjiang in Western China. Their second trip to the province in 6 months. Their last trip was at the start of the year, but while 25 players and coaches headed off on that one, only 19 boarded the plane to go home. Since that time, 4 of the other 6 have been held at Zhangjiang's Wusu prison, the other 2 at the Kashgar Juvenile Offender Detachment. The boys were arrested on the previous trip by riot police and later imprisoned for several offences, including public drunkenness, lewd conduct, and resisting arrest. Well, Zhangjiang Governor Nuo Bekri has granted the boys a pardon, halving their initial sentences, and their release from their respective prisons is imminent. So the bicycles have scheduled their trip to coincide with the release dates, and in keeping with the team's No Man Left Behind policy, they're going to head back over and bring the boys home. Good on ya, boys. Good on ya.
Yeah, well done. Well done. Well done, fellas. The bicycles have had it tough over the past little while.
Yeah.
I mean, losing 6 people. It was six people. Losing 6 people on any mid-season trip is difficult, and let alone what it does to team makeup. What do the bicycles play again, Scott, just for the simpletons?
Basketball.
Yeah, and hence the name Bicycles. So, well done, lads, and I wish them all the best. And look, the boys are showing a big pair of kahunas each by going back to where all the trouble began in the first place.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that they will conduct themselves very, very well, be ambassadors for their country, and come back with what I hope will be a winning side. And it interests me, there must be 3 or 4 divisions of the team, Scott, if 25 players and coaches headed across, given that basketball has 5 people per side, with how many people on the sideline, Scott?
Don't know, but it usually looks like between, I think, 30 or 40 sitting on the bench.
Okay, Scott, yep, there's your maths coming to the fore again. Scott, I'm going to move us on to listeners' letters. We can't do this program without you, dear listener. Your correspondence is greatly appreciated. And of course, if you have any correspondence for us, I've said it before, I will say it again, you can email it to us at this following email address, contact@thesimpleton.com.au. Scott, you have the first letter.
I have the first letter, Daniel, correct. So this one is from Professor Larry Weathers of Mount Isa. Where is Mount Isa, Daniel?
Australia, Scott. Australia.
Yeah. Pass that one. This is what Professor Larry Weathers writes. I have something interesting for you. As an expert in motion physics, I don't require Galileo's observations on acceleration and free fall to tell me that a fall of 100 meters would be fatal. However, I believe I have found a loophole which could make survival from such a height scientifically certain. I call it my 1 centimeter antifactor, the theory that, simply put, 1 centimeter is not the difference between life and death. I plan to prove this by going into free fall once a day. Each day it will be 1 centimeter higher than before. My first plunge will be 1 centimeter, my second 2 and 7 by the end of the week, a meter after 100 days, and so on. Within 30 years, I will be making my final jump at 100 meters. All I need first are the materials to build a scaffold with ladder and adjustable platform, which will go in my backyard. Don't worry, I plan on keeping you guys thoroughly up to date. That was what he wrote. What do you think of that, Daniel?
Well, thanks for the letter, Larry. Look, I wouldn't be too concerned about keeping us up to date. I think that we can just wish you all the best as you go to prove your 1 centimeter anti-factor. I wish you very well at the 20 meter mark. I think your aim to get to 100 meters is quite ambitious. I'll be interested to see what happens at the 5 meter mark. To be honest,
but Daniel, I think that's his factor.
I know what he's trying to say.
Are you saying there's going to be a life and death difference between 4 meters 99 and 5 meters? I think that's what he's out to prove.
Yeah, look, I can see that you're getting your own little niche audience here, Scott, with listeners that are coming up with the same sort of harebrained theories that you espouse on a weekly basis. Look, good luck, Larry. I don't wish you any harm. I certainly don't encourage any other of our simpletons out there to try that at home or anywhere, to be honest. But just good luck with it, Larry. Don't worry about keeping us posted. I'm sure we'll find out one way or the other. Okay.
Let me just back that up. I absolutely back up Daniel's sentiments. No one. Try that at home. No one try that at home at all. Okay. Daniel, I believe you have the second letter.
I do, Scott. I do. Mm-hmm. The second letter, of course. Hang on. This comes from Kingston, Jamaica again, Scott. We must have quite a thriving audience in the Bahamas. And if anyone from the Bahamas, any of our simpleton followers out there, would like to invite Scott and I on an all-expenses-paid holiday, we would be more than happy. If you could coincide it with Australia's next cricket tour, that would be fantastic. Thank you.
That sounds good. That sounds good. Yeah. Okay, what's his name?
This letter comes from Pal Jax.
Okay.
It's an unlikely type of name, but I suppose in the Bahamas these sorts of names are possible.
Yeah, I think so.
Pal Jax writes, "Mark my words, guys."
And Daniel, have you got another letter? Tell us about letter three, please.
Scott, I hate to disappoint you and the simpletons out there, Scott, but given the week that I've had, I just haven't had the opportunity. As a matter of fact, I came straight from the airport, literally sat down in this chair, put my voice, my mouth to the microphone and commenced this podcast. It's just fortunate that you happen to be on the other end when I commenced doing that. So I haven't had any time whatsoever to check my inbox or sort through the stack of mail that comes in on a almost a daily basis now. So my apologies to you and the simpleton, Scott.
No problems, Daniel. No problems. So I guess you'll have more to choose from for next week's podcast then.
Undoubtedly. Yes, undoubtedly. Well,
okay.
You know what, so, Scott?
Oh no, this is your section. Go.
This is where I host the show and bring it to an end, right?
Yes.
So, Scott, I think we're coming to the end of another Simpleton podcast. It's been an enlightening one. I think it's been enlightening for our listeners to hear some of the things that you've had to say this week, Scott. Before we finally sign off, is there anything on the horizon, Scott, that you can see that the Simpleton listeners should be aware of?
Yes, Daniel, I can happily say yes. This is it. I reckon you should keep your eyes this week on Asia, Europe, and possibly Africa too. Daniel, what about you?
That was it, was it? Well, you did say last week that you were going to make more of an effort, and I guess you've done that. Scott, I don't really see anything on the horizon that anyone should be concerned about. There's the Olympics starting next week, I suppose, but you know, he's going to pay much attention to that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Scott, right. I would like to remind the listeners before we sign off that if you want to contact us at the email address contact@thesimpleton.com.au. If there are any developments in the Jesper Hansen fiasco, they will be posted on the simpleton.com.au website. But I think we're going to leave that where it is in terms of this particular podcast. But once again, if that person out there who is masquerading as Jesper Hansen wants to get in contact with us and identify themselves and stop being so gutless, we would greatly appreciate that. So without much further ado, I wish you all a wonderful week. Goodbye, Scott. Goodbye, Simpletons.
Goodbye, Daniel. Goodbye, Simpletons.